Blog Talk Radio.
Another great episode here of Suspense Radio One-on-One in conjunction with Partners in Crime Tours.com. I am your host, John Robb, here for this special Suspense Radio One-on-One interview, and today we are going to have author Justin Cremon on to talk about his book, The Preservationist, and it's going to be, the good thing is that this is Justin's first go into the thriller genre, and we're very pleased that he was able to do that, and that's something that he wanted to do, because you're going to hear all about all that when it all starts, and it's coming up right now.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Welcome back here to this great episode we have of Suspense Radio One-on-One again with help and partnered with Partners in Crime Tour. Check them out if you're an author and you want to sell books. Check out Partners in Crime Tour. So we want to welcome our guest here today, Justin Cremon. He is the author of the book called The Preservationist. And for some reason, I keep getting tongue-tied with that. So when I say it, it just doesn't come out the way that I think it should come out. But we want to welcome Justin to the show. So Justin, thanks so much for coming on. How you doing?
Hi, John. A big thing that I practice is just saying the title of my book, so I'm totally with you on that. I think that's completely understandable.
Yeah, I'm thinking I should be saying Sandy went to the seashore by the seashells and everything, and I'm like, for some reason, it's like a tongue twister for me. But The Preservationist is your first thriller book. You wrote a book a couple of years ago, but it was something much different. So give everybody a little bit about the inside track of The Preservationist. So that's not on the back cover.
Sure, yeah. So a couple of years ago I had a book that came out from Random House that was called Finny. It was a coming-of-age novel. And someone who had read my first book said to me, you know, recently, I'm very surprised about this new book, exactly what you're saying. And, I read your first book, and it was so kind of cheerful and optimistic and lighthearted, and I just kind of figured that's who you were as a person. And I had to say, no, that's not who I am at all. I'm the type of person who doesn't like sunshine, which you'd be able to tell if you saw my author photo, or, you know, children or crowds. I'm like the kind of person that, like, if you're playing a board game with me, I don't see the point. I don't care who wins. And I usually end up blurting out by the end, like, that we all die anyway, so it doesn't matter, you know. And, like, so there's this kind of, expectation sometimes that the book that you're writing is, like, your voice as an author. I think in some ways what you're really doing is that you're taking a tone or a type of book or a type of story, that fits something that you want to say or some kind of material you have inside of you. So it was very different with this book for me than it was for the first book. And for this book, I was reading a lot of thrillers for about a year. They were really the only type of book that I could really sink into for about a year. I loved thrillers, crime stories, mystery novels, you know, lots of books that just focused on or orbited around violence. And that was what really opened up the path for me to write one. I'm really a lot of times drawing from that. So The Preservationist really draws a lot from classic thrillers that I love, books like, and your listeners I'm sure will be familiar with, The Talented Mr. Ripley or The Collector by John mm-hmm. Fells, Misery by Stephen King, or some of these books that are just well-known in the right. in the genre and really kind of go deeply into the head or into the life or the routines of someone who seems kind of very strange or at the margins of society, and you have characters that are approaching a violent confrontation. You don't know exactly who to trust, what's going to happen, where the threats are coming from. So I wanted to kind of take that classic storyline and put my own peculiar twist on it, because there were books I just loved. And so The Preservationist was really a chance to get close to one of those characters, who is, and that would be Sam, who is known as the Preservationist in the novel, who might seem strange at first, and have him start to feel more and more familiar to the reader as you move into the book. And that closeness, that kind of blurring of the lines, is something that for me is always just really interesting in a novel, and especially in a psychological suspense novel. It's something you can really get time to do in the book.
So now we kind of have the idea of, why you decided to, kind of go that way, kind of who you are as a person. Now give us kind of more of the inside information with your two, with Sam and Julia. Those are your two main characters here in the book. So when you decided to, hey, you know what, I am a dark person. I'm more of a dark person than a light person, and that's the kind of area that I want to explore. That's the kind of, hey, I'm more of a dark person than a light person, all right?
We all are.
Too. Yeah, I mean, you know why? Because I think that that's kind of the side that more like the forbidden side. And it's like, and so I think when you explore that into yourself, I think you find that it's a lot more interesting than, always daisies and roses. So was it kind of the characters that got you excited about this book, or was it more along the storyline when you were thinking about, hey, this is a direction I wanted to go, that you decided this is what you wanted to do?
For me, it's always first the characters, and I was very attracted to so the book is really Sam and Julia are kind of at the center, as you mentioned, and then there's this third character, Marcus, so it's kind of a love triangle. And I was first interested in just exploring these three and just knowing that they were approaching a kind of violent confrontation in some way, and just spending a lot of time. I mean, for me, when I'm writing a book, I'm spending a lot of time in, like, a notebook writing about the characters, and that might be just monologue, kind of weird personal monologues from the different characters, or that could be things from their biography. It could be lists of stuff they keep in their drawers, which was particularly important for Sam because he keeps a lot of strange things around. And so what that does is then when I'm kind of approaching the story itself, I want, once I'm really drafting the book, I want each chapter to present very important information that pushes the story forward. But I have all of that background that I've written so that when Sam opens his refrigerator, in the novel, I know that there are going to be 10 rows, neat rows of protein shakes in his refrigerator and nothing else. And that's because mm-hmm. I've spent this time with these characters that I love and I get to know and have these quirks that are interesting to me. So Julia is this person who has suffered a recent tragedy. We know that her brother was killed, and that it comes out fairly early on in the novel how that happens. And she is suffering from a lot of just trauma and guilt and different things that have happened to her. And then this older man, Sam, steps into her life, who's several decades older than she is. And he is, in a lot of ways, the kind of person that she's really looking for. She is just starting this relationship with Marcus, who's more her age, more of just a shy type that she is, and a little bit of quirky sense of humor, and that's kind of him. And then Sam comes in. He's this older man. He's a bit sadder and darker. He seems to understand her a bit better. And that's really where the story starts as that kind of tension where she's stuck between these two different types of love interests, and then things start to happen that get a little bit mysterious. There are strange things show up. A rock gets tossed through Sam's window, and we see, you know, glass on the floor, and then Julia, there's sort of little strange things that are rearranged in her life, and she begins to feel maybe that she's being followed or pursued, and there are these two men who both, Sam and Marcus, both have kind of a dark past that we gradually uncover in the novel, and that that kind of tension of where is this coming from, who do I trust, which is the one, which of these two men is kind of after me, that's really where the kind of the heart of the story comes from.
And so when you did decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to go this route, and it's, like you said, about 3 years ago, you had written a totally different kind of novel.
Mm-hmm.
How was the journey now to get it published?
Well, so it's always a strange career move when you become a little bit known for doing one thing and then you decide
right.
to go in a different direction. Getting it published was a thing of my agent, you know, sending it out and looking for imprints that particularly focus on doing titles like this, which is kind of, you know, crime, suspense, thriller titles, and do a really nice job with that. So part of that work is really that I have a great, you know, agent, Aisha Pandey, and she's just been wonderfully supportive and is able to kind of target each book for a place that hopefully will do a nice job with it. And I've been really lucky with both the publishers that I've landed with for both the books. So that's that side of it. As far as from my side, I've been very lucky with the different people who enjoyed the first book have been willing to make a number of them have been willing to make the leap over, at least so far. The book just came out this week, but seem to be interested in making that leap over to reading a different kind of book from me because they enjoyed my writing before. And so that's been very sort of flattering and nice and humbling for me that that they've been really supportive with the new book. And you know, it is a book that it's certainly a thriller. It's intended to be a page-turning thriller, but at the same time, I wanted to bring over some of the character stuff and the sense of humor and some of the things I did in the first book, and I hope that's a thing that stays consistent in the different books that I'm writing. But as far as also just with changing genres, I mean, one thing that was really nice for me is with my first book, I just visited a lot of book groups all over the country, book clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been wonderful because then when I have a new book, they're interested in maybe me visiting, you know, again or, you know, reading the new book. And just having that personal connection with great readers has really been a wonderful thing in switching over to this new kind of book.
And, again, I want to remind everybody that we're speaking here with author Justin Cramon, and it's justincramon.com, K-R-A-M-O-N. .com is his website to find out more information about the book, The Preservationist, and everything else that he has going on. So now when you wrote this book, did you write it for the simple fact of you wanted Sam and Julia to be in a series, or is this strictly a standalone where, you know, anything goes?
This book's a standalone, as it is now, and so readers can pick this book up and not feel that they have to have a bunch of other books under their belt to be able to read it. Whether the characters will come back again, I mean, that's something that is hard for me to say right now because, I'll have to see where the next book takes me, but it certainly is a book that people can read on their own, and it's a full, you know, the story is a complete story that will have an ending that hopefully will be satisfying to people and tell them where everyone ends up by the end of it. The sort of strange directions that they all go that are very different from the place where I would say that where they start out in the novel.
When you think about it now, though, now when you start and you realize, like, how much fun you had and kind of how, you know, the characters have kind of grown on you a little bit, are you maybe starting to think that there are certain aspects of Sam and Julia that you would like to go and that you want to explore more, that you think that more books could be coming out. Maybe not from them, but there's always those characters in books that kind of rear their head where you had no idea that they were going to be as popular as they were, maybe not from your aspect, but maybe from a fan aspect, that you do want to go ahead and continue further. Is there someone in the book that did that for you?
Yes, I particularly loved writing Sam because he's such a particular and strange character, and I feel different from maybe other characters that people will have read about or even that might appear in this genre. So that was a particular pleasure of writing this book, but I enjoyed all the characters. One of the things that was fun in this book was being able to take characters, maybe a character like Julia, who you could see on the one hand as being a character in a kind of more of a different kind of a novel, like a character novel, maybe a gentler novel, coming of age, something like that, and then putting her right up against a serial killer plot. I mean, that mm-hmm. was a sort of a fun and strange thing that this book was able to do. And one of the things about having a book where you have different perspectives, a point of view from all the different characters, is that you can kind of have these very different stories that come up right against each other. So, you know, having that be Julia's story and then having it come right up against, you know, Marcus and Sam and having this threat of violence there and all these different things, it really kind of pushes characters out of themselves. It makes them do stuff that they wouldn't have to do under normal circumstances. So it becomes very fun then to see, like, how would they react? And having that right. time that I spent with them, writing about them, thinking about them, all that stuff, it's like I have a sense of who they are. It's like if somebody said, well, you know, what would your Aunt Judy do in this situation? It's sort of the same when you have characters over a long period of time, is you kind of know them like people in your family, and you think, well, what would Julia do here? What would Sam do here? You know, what would Marcus do? And that kind of pleasure is, that's when the novel starts becoming very fun to write, because then it feels like you've created this world that exists outside of you, where you're kind of watching these people who are caught up in an interesting situation that you want to follow, that you want to figure out how it's going to happen, but you're not totally just manipulating puppets anymore. It's really like thinking about, well, what would these people do here? And so that is a lot of fun with this book. And as far as, I mean, that was something that happened with the first book, your question about, you know, following the characters and other books with them. And that certainly, my first book was very much a character novel and had characters that people talked about a lot and would ask me if I'm writing another book about so-and-so. And the door is always open for that because, it's obviously way too early to commit to, you know, whether I will or won't with different characters. But I love the idea that they exist beyond the end of the book, that you get to the last page, and hopefully the story is not so much closing for the reader as opening, and that so there are these pathways and possibilities of places that, you know, I could still go with these people later on, and I like the fact that I don't even have to decide, that they're just kind of there waiting for me, and I can walk in that door if I want.
So is there kind of one maybe, I guess you want to say, scene, or maybe even a sentence or paragraph or something in the book, The Preservationist, that you feel kind of captures the essence of exactly what you're trying to get across to the reader?
Well, a lot of the book is, there's, you know, like I said before, the main thing I think when you're writing a thriller is you want the reader to really want to turn the page. So you want it to be something where you're always wondering what's going to happen, how is it going to work out, who's responsible, all that kind of stuff. But then any story, I think, in any kind of book you're writing, it's this way of kind of being able to get to things that you care about, that you want to be able to say. I mean, I think it's great to have a book where readers want to turn the page, but they also want to be able, you want readers to put it down at the end and feel like they've gathered something new about the world, some perspective or wisdom or insight or something. So behind the story that I have in the book, there's also this kind of, I hope, a kind of exploration of loss and of death in the novel, and there's some wondering about that whole side of life. And, you know, and Julia, since she's faced so many losses in the book, that's where I can sort of bring her perspective in, and she'll kind of wonder from time to time in the book, and just to find it very strange how she says at one point in the book that the line between life and death is so thin but also so definite. So it's this idea that just such a small thing can kind of push someone over from one side to the other, but then they never come back. And that's kind of this thing that the book pushes up against, that central mystery of life again and again. And so Julia has this, she's having a hard time figuring that out and dealing with it. And then you have Sam and Marcus, who kind of both have these two very different but distinct philosophies about how to deal with loss and deal with death. And Sam has this idea that he's going to preserve everything. So he's got, you know, all kinds of just strange mementos from the different places that he's lived and old letters. And every morning he puts on different creams on his face and plucks, you know, his eyebrows and plucks gray hairs out because he wants to preserve his youth. He just has, he's very afraid of the idea that things can escape him, that he can lose them. And then you have Marcus, who's kind of just tortured by some dark events in his own past and things that he did, and is doing everything to kind of erase that in some way. And so you have these two men with very different ideas of how to approach that. And so what I hoped is, like I said, it's a fun story up front that keeps you turning the page, wondering what's going to happen, but then kind of lurking behind that, or almost under the surface of that, is this kind of exploration of loss, of preservation, of death, of what sort of happens on the other side of that line, as Julia puts it.
Now, since this is your first thriller, and this is something that is new to you, and this is kind of a new genre, did you kind of reach out to any authors that you already knew that were in the genre, any advice that you received from them, maybe before you started writing it or while you were kind of going on, to make sure that, hey, you know, do I got the pacing right? Do I have things correct? Is this a book that, you know, fans are going to be able to get into, especially hardcore thriller fans, you know, that look for certain aspects of a thriller book?
Right.
Did you do anything like that?
Yeah, I did. I ran the book by several writer friends who were very helpful in helping me with certain aspects of making sure, like, as you said, the pacing is right, because pacing is a huge thing for thrillers. And then also with just what point of the book should we be sure? What point of the book should we be unsure? Kind of that check of, because you have two things when you're writing a book always, right? You have what you know in your head, and but you also have that thing of, well, what does the reader know, or what does the reader think at a certain point? And so having these other readers kind of chime in who are writers who know how to do this kind of stuff, that helped me a lot as I was working on it. So I definitely did some of that. And I also I read, like I said, for about a year, I really only read thrillers. And so it was a lot of, and that's a big thing for me in general, and in any kind of book or story or anything I'm trying to write, is really immersing myself in whatever genre, whatever type of book that I'm working on, just because there's no better schooling than reading some of these people like Henning Mankell, who are just so good at it, who do it again and again, and, you know, and just, I feel like a big part of writing is being just an avid fan of just loving certain books. And
right.
You know, you could say, like, I want to write a thriller because I think people buy thrillers or something like that. But it's really, unless it kind of comes from a love that you have yourself for a certain type of book, then it doesn't, there's less of a feeling of richness and honesty in the book. And I think, you know, I hope that kind of comes off to people who read the books, who read my book, that it comes from loving, you know, a number of books in the genre, wanting to learn from them, wanting to kind of participate in that discussion that they open up. So both that thing of getting feedback, and then also reading a lot in the genre, working with my agent who represents all different kinds of books, and she's been a wonderful partner in giving me feedback and helping, you know, with different things I've wanted to to work on in my career. And then I had great editors over at Pegasus, you know, and my editor, Maya Larson in particular, who I worked with on the book, was just wonderful in being able to help me with all those issues of when do we reveal certain things, you know, when do we want the reader to know, when do we want the reader to not know, when is this going to happen, all that kind of stuff.
So we got about a couple minutes left here. So I just want to kind of, you know, real quick, tell people, you know, like where they can contact you, you know, where you might be as far as if you're going to be out at any conventions or anything else where, you know, people can maybe meet you or speak with you, or just the best way to maybe contact you if they have any further questions, if they're, you know, just, or they just want to send you stalker email.
Yeah, that's all of the above can be done through my, so my website, www.justincramon.com, that has all of the information that you just mentioned. In particular, there are ways that fans can contact me directly on the site, I love hearing from people that way. There's a tour schedule up there, which is pretty extensive for the next couple of months, and we'll be adding dates as we move into the winter. If you're in an area that I'm not going to be visiting, you can, if either through the contact page or the book club page, there are ways to contact me. I often go to areas to visit a number of book clubs in an area, so that's something that I love to do with, you know, and get to meet a lot of readers that way. So that's a way that people can contact me and, you know, possibly set up something to meet. I do a lot of book clubs where I just call in, do it through Skype, you know, Google Chat, all those kind of available technologies, and just doing a lot of the in-person visits because it's just a real pleasure for me to be able to meet the readers personally too. So all of that is on the website, and then I have a Facebook page as well, where that just kind of has a lot of the interviews and press and different things that are coming out, and that's going to be facebook.com/justin.cramon.writer.
Well, Justin, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Wish you nothing but success. It's great to see, you know, new thriller writers, especially exploring their dark side, come into the fold. There's plenty of room in the house. Come on in. We have plenty of rooms open. So, yeah, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Look forward to seeing what you have coming out into the future. And, again, thanks so much.
John, thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks. All right. Hey, you have a good one, Justin. Enjoy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, again, everybody, that is Justin Cramon. The book is called The Preservationist. I finally got it right. You can go look for it now. It's available wherever books are being sold and wherever you buy them. JustinCramon.com, KRAMON.com is his website. We have a lot of exciting things coming up, so make sure you always check out SuspenseMagazine.com. You can click on the Suspense Radio button. You can find a bunch of other stuff that we got going on. The end of the year, we will have our last Suspense Radio show. Around the end of November, we will be taking December off. It's always the holiday time. It's always difficult to get authors on, and then we'll be picking it up in the new year. But we always have Crime and Science Radio out there, too, and they have a lot of good things. So make sure that you check that stuff out. So until next time, everybody, October the 26th, we will say adieu and enjoy.